And kids have to know that it's okay to fail.
Absolutely.
It's okay to rebuild and start over. You know, a lot of people just look at failure like it's the worst thing. You learn so much from when you fail, you know? You don't learn from your success, you learn from your failures.
I think it humbles us.
It does.
It humbles us.
What? My husband going to jail was the biggest humbling experience ever. You know, like, he was at the top of his career, at the very top. Like, you know, every cover of a magazine, every Sunday, that's all you heard. Mike Vick.
You might need to write a book, Kiafa, because, I mean, it's very inspiring. It's very,
It's my story.
I swear to God, I was around the corner when she walked right in. High heels, short dress, he should have known right then. He walked over like, you the shorty I should be rocking. She told him, baby, I'm a job, you need to get clocked in. She next level, eyes full of pride, she won't settle. No breaks, so she hit the road, foot to the pedal. No days off, I mean, that's often offensive. She like the ball, like the park with the fences. Yeah, so her lifestyle get awfully expensive. She might dismiss it, but it's hard to resist her. Cause she's a boss. Yeah, you can just tell when she talks.
The holidays are fast approaching. And it is, I mean, you have a lot of people in your household, or, you know, you have your in-laws coming in, extended family, nieces and nephews. What does that look like for you guys?
Well, my family celebrates Hanukkah, so it's 8 gifts per child. So on one end, it's organized, and it is, I know exactly what they need, and it doesn't have to be overly expensive. It can be something they need, like a diary, but it's something they can open up every night.
I was telling y'all, like, my house gets crazy around this time of year because it's 3 Sagittarius. It's me, my husband, and my son, and then there's Christmas. So it gets kind of crazy. I feel like my birthday gets lost in the sauce. Honestly, but it gets hard, and I don't mind it. Like, I really don't mind it. I love, you know, just having family around. My parents always come in town from Atlanta, and so does Phil's parents. So, you know, it's a lot, but I enjoy it. It gets crazy, but it's a good chaotic. You know what I mean? It's a good hectic.
What about you all?
I mean, it's definitely crazy. So the twins, their birthday is December 17th. Too. So it's a week before Christmas. So I try to celebrate theirs a week before their birthday, like the weekend before. So then we have like a full Christmas week. But Christmas looks different nowadays because, I mean, like when we were playing in season, you know, we were alone because my husband and our guys were in season. Now he's home, so now we have a lot of family that's coming to town, and we're not like, it's not all around like a game. So I think, you know, now it's just really enjoying like that family time and family dynamic, and the kids are older, and really getting creative with the gifts. Mm-hmm. Like this year we're going to Disney, so
that's
like.
That's a gift in itself.
Yes.
That's a gift.
Disney is so expensive.
Yes, it is.
It is so expensive. So, but yes, even the adults. Merry Christmas. You're going to Disney with us, you know, to celebrate the kid's birthday.
How many people
but also
are going with y'all?
24.
Woof. That's a lot.
Yeah. But it's
Disney's the perfect place because it's for all ages.
So. It is. And it's the first time, our kids are going. So it's like it's a big deal.
That's fun. This is a good age too, because they can remember.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted them to be able to remember.
Otherwise, you're doing all the work and you walking around and the baby's in the stroller.
Spending all that money.
It is a lot. It is a lot. But I do love a Christmas trip. You know, I'd be trying to get out of hosting. You know, it's like I don't want to host every year. And sometimes you just want to get out the house and just.
Well, I will say it's definitely, my birthday is in December too. All these December babies. It's 10 days before Christmas, December 15th. And, you know, like growing up, like I couldn't have birthday parties and stuff like that.
Because it's
like,
so close to Christmas.
It's so close to Christmas. So
did people try to like say happy birthday and Merry Christmas?
One gift.
I feel like I do like set aside some of the gifts that my son gets for his birthday and I put them under the tree. I go like, because he get all these gifts and I'm like, some of these is going under the tree. He ain't even going to know. He not going to know.
I celebrate my birthday all month now. So starting December 1st, I celebrate myself. Because I know, you know, my birthday gets lost in the sauce.
I have a hard time with that because it's like Thanksgiving and then everybody else's birthday and then Christmas.
You still have to make time for yourself. I'm a firm believer in celebrating yourself.
I gotta do better with that, man. It's so hard. No,
like, I went away last year for my birthday in the middle of the pandemic. I said, I'm going away. It's my 40th birthday. I'm going to celebrate. I went to Cabo and we had so much fun. We had the resort to ourselves. The resort was at 3% occupancy. It was amazing. I know. So I make sure I celebrate myself. And when family comes over, I take advantage of my family when they come over for the holidays. You want to pick up the kids from school? You want to take them to the mall? Like, yeah, I take advantage of anybody who comes to my house.
I don't know. I feel like when my family comes to town, they're like, oh, we in Florida. I'm on vacation. They want to hang out at the pool. They want to go to the beach. You know, like when they're at home, they're like, yeah, I'm going to watch the kids. Girl, I can't wait to see the kids. Soon as they hear, they at the pool, they lounging. It's like, hold on, you tricked me. But it's like, I also want them to enjoy themselves. So I was just like, okay, yeah, but no.
Here in Miami, everyone's attracted to coming here during the wintertime because you can go to the beach, you can hang out, get on a boat and vibe on the water. Yeah. So, and what is our weather here? It's just incredible. So they come in, they're going to come gravitate to us naturally just because it's a beautiful city.
So what about like in-laws and extended family? Like it's a lot in your home, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like sometimes it's a little overwhelming. It can be extremely beneficial and helpful, but how do you guys navigate through like the extended family, sharing the holidays together, not even just sharing the holidays together, but just like that family dynamic?
It's transitioned a lot because of the pandemic, right? You don't know who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, who you want in your home, how many people can be in your house, or just what you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Everyone's, their tolerance of traveling has changed and altered because of the pandemic that we've been in. So you have to respect everyone's sensitivities that comes with that. Yes, yeah, new. So it might not as be before you had 30 members that are coming together. Now you maybe just have an intimate setting of just your intimate.
But you know what else? On top of that, though, I think it's changed like post football. Because because it was more of like an event, you know, it was like the Thanksgiving game and whatever, you know, and then now it's like real family time. You know what I mean? Like there's a reason and a season. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, relationships, they can be strained during the holidays, for sure. There's a lot of, you know what I mean, who's cooking the best turkey, who's doing this.
Do y'all ladies cook or y'all have chefs?
My mama is the bomb chef of all chefs. My mom, I still rely on my mama. I ain't even gonna lie. You know, she's like getting on me real hard. She's like, Ashley, I'm not gonna be here forever. You need to come in this kitchen and watch me. I feel like I could get like the macaroni and cheese. I could probably do like the sweet potato casserole.
And y'all, her man love to eat.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he does.
Everybody know, all my friends know. Cause I'm like, girl, he not coming unless you got food. You got food? Right. Okay, we coming.
I'll have a party and he'll come and just get him a plate.
He's sitting in the kitchen. He's sitting in the kitchen waiting for the food.
I appreciate you guys. We appreciate y'all. I just want you to know that.
I used to cook. I do everything myself. Everything. I mean, from the turkey all the way down to the dressing. And so I had the twins, and then so I cooked Christmas dinner like a week after I had the twins. And then after that, I think that was my last time because I was like, this is a lot of work and not a lot of help. Yeah. And so I stopped doing it. But I think this year is my, I'm coming out of retirement, y'all. I think I'm going to be cooking this year.
That's so we coming to get a plate. Okay. Don't be shy when I say, girl, I'm outside.
Just know you're coming with a gang of family. So it's going to be a house full.
That's fine.
It's going to be a house full.
That's fine. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I have to say that I never cook. So not one holiday. I'm a sous chef.
Okay. That's you know, beneficial. Right? We appreciate that.
I don't know, like cooking has just never been my ministry. You know, I'm more of a server. You know, you cook and I'll serve whatever you cook. So Channing likes to grill and he likes to cook. And God bless me with the man that likes to cook. So I'm gonna just use his gifts. That's what he likes to do.
I feel like my mom though, I feel like if she didn't cook, she would feel like, why am I here? Like she loves to come and like take over the kitchen. Like that's her thing. So I kind of feel like she's on me like to get in there. But I really feel like if I was to get in there, she would be like, girl, what are you doing? Sit down. You know what I mean?
Our holidays are looking a little different now because we're splitting two households. So I'm going to be sending my babies to LA and that's where we'll be hanging out at Disney most likely. And then having a little feast. Yeah.
So how do you feel about navigating the holidays now, like separately in new household?
It's tough.
If you don't mind me asking.
For sure.
I know it's new and.
It's definitely tough. It is about my schedule and my privacy as far as his as well. And then making sure the children still have a sense of normalcy and tradition and just routine that makes them feel comfortable. Yeah. So it's tough, you know, it could be a little challenging navigating all of this, all the different parts that make it for us as a family. But, you know, every year we try to figure out something that is kind of conducive to all of our schedules and as well as like what our strengths are. We usually go to Aspen. Mm-hmm. So we'll ski, we'll snowboard, we'll try to go to different restaurants and just have a good time and just kind of all come together as a family.
That's beautiful that you guys can still do that. That's really
Thank
great.
You.
That's what it's all about.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
The kids and what's best for them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So we talk about the holidays and obviously finances come right along with that, right? For a long time, I feel like in our household, you know, we are Santa Claus for everybody, you know, and that's not a bad thing. You know, we were blessed with the opportunity to be able to gift and to be a blessing to other people. How do you guys not control, but I navigate the finances in our household day to day, like day to day finances, financial responsibility, like that's on me. And so like budgeting, Christmas gifts, gifting outside of Christmas and the holidays, day to day bills, things like that. Who manages the household finances with y'all?
We're 50-50.
Yeah.
So he'll do like the main bills and I do whatever the kids need and myself. And, you know, I mean, ever since my career kind of started taking off, I start taking care of what I want and whatever the kids need. And so that's how we navigate that. But I think that it's so important to be like involved with the finances because you never know what happens in life. And there might be a time that you need to pick up everything and, you know, be in touch with where the investments are, what accounts, you know, who's doing what, who has power of attorney over what, you know, if it's a diversified portfolio, where everything is, what the passwords are. So, you know, I'm always wanting to keep up with everything and make sure that everything looks good and oversee, you know, as the money's coming in and out.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I mean, Key, you mentioned in a couple episodes ago that you had to take over for financially for your family and your household. Like, how were you able to do that from not doing it to just taking over everything completely?
When he went to prison, it was hard. You know, like I had to meet with lawyers. I had to meet with his accountants. I had to do everything. It was just kind of like, handle this. And I never was in control of his money before. So this was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I don't know what to do, but I had to learn real quick. Mm-hmm. I had to learn real quick about, you know, how to budget and how to talk to all these different people that I had to, that were approaching me now, asking questions. And it was difficult. I would say it was very difficult for that adjustment because I was never in that position before.
Yeah.
But I think I learned a lot from it, and it's definitely made me a much better person to handle our finances right now. And I think that he appreciates that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he's like, oh, okay, you know.
Was it always like that? Like, did he like it like that? Because Channing and I had a situation where this is how he wanted to run his house. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be in charge of the bills. You know, you do whatever, but, like, you don't need to know everything. So there was a time that I didn't know, and it was like, well, I'm saying to him, like, I want to know, you know, like, let me in on this. Let me in on the financial meetings. Was it like that for you?
Well, I think I was just thrusted into it. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I was happy with my life. You know, he'd give me some money and I'm like, okay, let me put this in my bank. I'm good. You know, I ain't care what you was doing with your money. I was good with mine. So it was just like, all of a sudden I'm thrown into it. So now it's no turning back. You know, you can't not let me know what's going on with the money after I'm in control of everything. It don't work like that now. So,
but I also remember you saying you put money, like if he gave you money or something like that, you made sure like you put some aside to make
absolutely.
Sure you always,
so
and I think that's important.
When my husband went to jail, he was super rich in legal fees and a lot of other, we had a lot of money, y'all.
Yeah.
And I just didn't imagine that it would go like within 2 years. You know, we had investments. Some of the investments weren't solid. People said they were, you know, doing certain things with money, a lot of money tied up in investments that were like bogus, fake. And you know, when my husband came home from jail, he had nothing.
Yeah.
nothing. Not our account was in a negative. Our account was in a negative. It was like, how do we go from all the way up here to having nothing? And you know, we sat in the bed, I checked the account, and we just looked at it, and we laughed. It was such an odd moment, like, how we laughing? We ain't got nobody right now. Like, yeah. I don't know, but God made a way. Like, T.I. and his wife, they gave us $100,000. And, you know, that gave us a good start on life again. And T.I. will not accept the money back. You know, I know. But he did. He made it back into the league, and you know, he was able to rebuild. And I think with all the knowledge that we had from past experiences,
y'all learned from it, absolutely. And were able to build back
and are
up.
Stronger from stronger. It.
Our foundation was built. Yes. I felt like our foundation. These guys are just thrown into this money. Yeah. They are
at young ages.
Most of us in our Black community don't know about money. We don't know about taxes. And so much more comes with just money.
Correct.
You have people now asking you for money.
Yes.
You have everyone taxing you and taking from you.
Yes.
And if people keep taking from you, your well is gonna eventually run dry. You know, and these guys, they don't know how to say no. Especially when they came up with somebody. They feel like they owe it to these people. And it's like, you know, your wife, you're like, babe, you don't owe nobody anything. You worked your ass off to get where you're at in life. You don't owe these people anything. And I feel like he struggled with that for a while. I had just had a baby. My baby was 1 month old when he left. Yeah. And I just remember like, what is my life going to come to right now? Like, what am I going to do? Who am I going to be? Because I was behind him. You know, like he was always the forefront of our family. I mean, which was fine. But it taught me how to be a leader. It taught me how to step up and take advantage of my situation that I've been placed in. And when I first got pregnant with my daughter, I just remember thinking like, Dad, we're not married. You know, like he can leave at any given moment. And what am I going to do? And I was just like, you know, I got to think of a plan. So I met with a financial advisor and I started saving money. I started, you know, yeah, give me a lot of money, a lot of money. Y'all. So, you know, instead of buying 10 pair of shoes, y'all, I might just go buy four. And I would put the money away and I started saving it. And I just didn't even realize that I was saving money. You know, it was just going. It was out of sight, out of mind. And when he went to jail and we started having like hardships, I realized like, oh my God, I got a lot of money saved up. And that money I saved up really took care of me and my family. And so, you know what I mean? He got back on his feet. It was just a hard situation. You know, him going to jail just left me and my kids.
Do you feel like he maybe looked at you different after that? Or did he always, do you think he always saw that in you and that's why he chose you to be the mother of his kids? And you know what I mean? How did that change him?
I think that's what he always saw in me. Like when he met me, he's like, your mouth is so slick. He don't like that slick mouth now, no, y'all. But he was just like, your mouth is so smart. Like nobody talked to me like this. And I'm like, you a regular person. Like, what you think? You a football and you just a god? No, I'm gonna tell you what it is. And I think he just appreciated me for, you know, who I was and how real I kept it with them. And you know, I'll cuss them out in front of anybody too.
Like he and like super smart though, because super smart because a lot of women, we get the opportunity and we're receiving a lot of money and we don't know what to do with it or to say, you know, I need help with this. You know, where do I put this? Mm-hmm. How do I grow it? You know, so like to even have that like mindset
to go to a financial advisor.
To go to a financial advisor. Did you read up on it? Like, how did you come to that point?
I just remember I used to go to a hair salon and it was two twins, Aida and Aisha, that used to do my hair. And I would just hear her talk about her situation and how she had money saved up and how, you know, some girls that she knew, they didn't have money. They always had money coming in. And she was talking about all they bought was, you know, material items. And I'm like, yo, I don't want to be like that. You know, yes, I like material things. But at the end of the day, I want to have something for myself. And I just remember saying, like, I want to open up a McDonald's. I just want to open up a McDonald's. And I was like, okay. You know, I think at the time I looked into it, I don't know, maybe like $300,000 or $600,000. I was like, I'm going to make sure I save up this much money. Yeah. You know, and I was like, I'm going to get my McDonald's. And, you know, when I saved up that much money, I wasn't even thinking about a McDonald's anymore. It was just like, okay, but.
But it's great that you had that goal and that mindset to even absolutely. Be thinking
and
that
I wish I would have known a lot more. Like, I wish my mom would have taught me more about, like, finances and, you know, how to maintain them and, you know, don't spend so much money on your credit cards and stuff like that. I just feel like, you know, we have to talk to our kids about that.
Now, being a newly divorcee, I was always leaning on my ex for all the financial everything, right? And then we invested and we built this generational wealth of legacy that we wanted to pass on to our children. Now, because of our divorce, it's kind of been split and separated, and I'm teaching our children to budget accordingly, to not overly spend, because everything has kind of changed and transitioned from when we were private jets here and there, and this life that we have built for them now is more of a manageable lifestyle where they need to see that their mother's grinding and that this is the household fund and this is how we have to budget and we can't be frivolous with certain things, just so they're learning. So they're seeing that adjustment also of real life.
And kids have to know that it's okay to fail.
Absolutely.
It's okay to rebuild and start absolutely. Over. You know, a lot of people just look at failure like, the worst thing. You learn so much from when you fail, you know? Yeah. You don't learn from your success, you learn from your failures. Yeah.
I think it humbles us.
It does.
It humbles us.
But my husband going to jail was the biggest humbling experience ever. You know, like, he was at the top of his career, at the very top. Like, you know, every cover of a magazine, every Sunday, that's all you heard. Mike Vick.
You might need to write a book, Kiafa, because, I mean, it's very inspiring. It's very,
It's my story. It's really my story. And
I feel like you, as a woman that's been behind this huge man on this world that we see in that face, we kind of get left in the shadows, and our voices sometimes get muted a little bit of what we go through, but we're the anchor that surrounds the soul, that penetrates who these men are.
Yeah, for sure.
So I commend you of your strength and your resilience. And it's something that I'm sure all of us can attest to, that I've never been in that position. And I can't imagine what that would be like. But you persevere through that.
You do. That's what us women do. We persevere through everything that we go through. We don't know what it's like to go through childbirth, but guess what? We do it, we scream, we cry, and guess what? Then we do it again. You ain't do it again. You know, it's like, we are so strong. We are so powerful. Women, we are queens. We really are.
It is our superpower.
Yeah, superheroes.
Yeah.
Superheroes.
We were talking earlier, because where you might be strong in, I might be weak in, but we all individually have a superpower that makes us unique. And we can bring that to the table and have our different vibes. But it's so beautiful to see. It's so beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I will say this, though, on top of all the things that you guys just said, it's a testament to you and who you are as a woman. I mean, we know statistically, you know, in the NFL, a lot of NFL athletes go broke after a certain period of time. And for you to be as trustworthy, as determined, as humble and responsible as you were, to be able to help your family and not be a statistic, but to come to the other side of that and be able to build upon what you had is a testament. Like, it's a testimony. And it's who you are as a woman, is who you are as a person, that he was able to not only see who you were inside, but trust you while he was not around. He wasn't there. And that trust got your family back together.
And built him back up, and he got back on the field and built a whole new legacy.
I always feel like when he was in prison, I don't feel like he experienced what we felt on the outside. I'm not gonna say he had fun in prison. I'm not gonna say it was a fun experience for him, because I didn't go to prison. But he would be calling me like, babe, can you send me some money? Can you send me $1,000? I said, what?
how do you need $1,000 while you in jail right now? Like, what the heck? Like, he just asking for mad money. I'm out here like, well, I gotta pay lawyers. Like, what you talking about?
He said, put some money on my books, man. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Like, Ray, you coming to see me? Can you bring me some stuff? I'm like, oh my God.
It's like I'm over here trying to get some groceries and some shoes.
I'm budgeting right now, and you asking for a stack. You're like, babe, I owe somebody some money in jail. I'm like, what? How you owe somebody some money in jail? I never thought I would have a jailbird. God throw things at you, you know, he be throwing some curveballs in life, and you know, it's how you bounce back from it.
It's true. And you always have like a great sense of humor.
Yes.
You know, like always.
If you can't laugh at yourself.
So yeah. Graceful. So yeah. Graceful.
Gracie, I've mentioned this before, your grace, your joy. Mm-hmm. Like you consistently been joyful through the entire process. Never wavered, you know, and like for that, it's truly commendable. And like kudos for Vic because he got a queen.
I got a question. So have you guys experienced maybe like after you guys got out of the league, like, you know, friends disappearing or even family like not treating you the same because, you know, your husband's not playing anymore? Like I had a conversation recently with one of my friends and she was just like, it's night and day with the difference in how people treated their family after they retired from the league. Did you guys experience anything like that?
I didn't experience it after he retired. I experienced it when he went to prison. Okay. You know, it was a lot of people around, a lot of, you know, handouts.
Yeah.
And when he went to prison,
it was crickets.
It was crickets. You know, it was very few of his friends that would come around and make sure I was okay or come take out my trash or just.
And did they come back around when he was rising back up?
Oh, yes. Everybody wanted to be around.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
I haven't experienced that personally with, especially like, being out of the league, but I think with marriage and relationships, it's in waves, you know? And so like, you know, Brandon and I had difficult times within our marriage. And I think that it was difficult to have like that family dynamic and that friendship dynamic. Cause you know, people were like, whoa, what do I do with this? Okay. You know what I mean? And it wasn't, it's not the retirement. It was the
like
waves of relationships,
of, yeah, okay.
You know, and I mean, and that was hard because like his family, you know, adores and loves him and they love me too, but I'm not their child. Right. And the same goes for me and my family. And so like, it was, you know, weaving those things back together again and like, and really just, I mean, at the end of the day, it came down to just him and I being one. You know what I mean? It's like, where he goes, I go. Where I go, he goes. You take me with him. You get him with me. And it ended up being that. Now, we've only been retired for, I mean, we're not even technically retired yet. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of are. But, like, 2 years. Right. This is our second year. So, but he prepped his family and our family and our friends and stuff for this. Like, this is not forever.
This is just a small decade or for many of us, it was longer than the average, but you prep everyone just because this is just temporary and we have a long way to go. We have to invest. Our children have to go to school. They might have some emergencies. We have emergencies.
And I think communicating that to family too, because they're not in the financial meetings with us. Because every year you have your annual review and the financial advisor is telling you, this is how much of the nest egg you have. And this is how long it needs to last you if you want to, you know, keep that or live a certain lifestyle until 75, 85, you know. But we have to convey that to them to let them know, like, all right, for this year, this is how much I can help family out. Like, because our families do need help sometimes and we're in a blessed position. So you want to try to be that glue that they need. But then you also have to kind of cap out your own budget to make sure that your lifestyle still remains and your retirement remains too.
What do we have today?
So I made you ladies sweet potato pie.
That's my favorite.
In honor of the holidays.
That is my absolute favorite dessert.
You have your
of
frozen
all time.
Your frozen sunglasses on over here with the ice flakes.
Tried to run with a winter theme.
Yeah, I like it.
So icy over there.
So when it comes to financial literacy, right? Because at the end of the day, financial literacy is what's gonna like help you out long term, right, with your finances, and even if you have a family or if you plan on having a family. So was financial literacy taught early on to you?
No. And I think even now, it's one of those things that I have to like learn on my own. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're, as kids, we're kind of taught to like save money, you know, but not necessarily where money should be placed for what and exactly, you know what I'm saying? And I think as I've gotten older and started my own business and, you know, when in my own endeavors, I've started to learn things like that, like having to place money aside for my business, money aside for my bills, money aside for emergencies and medical expenses and stuff like that, having to separate things and, you know, put things in their own categories so that, you know, I won't be in a bond.
So, Brandon, when we first got together, because we were young, I mean, I think we were all young probably when we met our significant others, but he didn't open up mail. Like, he didn't open up mail. There was like bags of mail all over the place. And like, so when it comes to financial literacy at a very early age, when you're given like millions, I mean, we're talking millions of dollars to a kid at 20, 21, 22, 23, you're still a kid, you know? And to be able to navigate through all of that, all of those resources and figure out how to open a checking account, how to make investments, how to pay bill, how to even set up an online bill pay system, all of that. Ooh, and I'm gonna be honest, Brandon didn't know that at the jump, you know? And like, I had that for my mother because I was, again, single mother. So she had to raise me to be able to be sustainable by myself with nobody else. And at the time, like I found myself kind of teaching him as we grew together. But I think financial literacy is so important for young people, men and women included, to be able to understand like what you need to do in order to sustain.
It seems like it should be a part of like everyday education at school.
Every
like,
day. Learning how to write checks. I mean, checks aren't even like a thing nowadays.
And nowadays, we need to learn about cryptocurrency. It's different. It's changing every day. And I'm like trying to keep up myself. My son probably knows more about crypto than I do.
So you know, how do y'all go about like, because I know y'all have kids. How do y'all go about teaching your kids? Because As a child, I wasn't taught. So like
with the chores, my parents did me. They got their chores. They gonna get X amount of money if they get their chores done, allowance, all of that. If they want to buy something, go in your piggy bank, see how much money you got. He's like, my son is really into like Roblox, and that's a lot. That costs money. So I'm like, how much money you got in your piggy bank? Yeah, I mean, I do it old school way. You know,
I'm the same.
Chores.
I'm the same.
Allowance.
Yeah, and I bribe too.
Okay. She said, I bribe.
Absolutely.
Robux money. Robux goes a long way. My son will do anything for Robux.
No, it works for me, it works for them.
It does.
Robux goes a long way.
And when they act up, I always talk about, you know, I'm going to be dead and gone one day, and all this is going to be yours.
So you use guilt. Right. You use guilt.
Even like when it comes to school stuff, it's like you need to get, you know, good grades in school because you got to be able to run all this stuff and take care of this. And I can't have you, everything that we work for in this generation, you just messing it up.
These kids are expensive. The older they get, the more expensive and the bigger the gifts get or the electronics and all of that. So I'm teaching mine. You have one job, go to school. That's it. Get your grades and all this extra stuff we'll have fun with.
Like all of that is important. I think it's like bits and pieces to it. You know what I mean? Because there's so many levels to it. Like there's levels to financial literacy. I'm still learning and still trying to understand. And, you know, and now, you know, I was probably the banker, the COO, the, you know, financial accountant in the beginning of our relationship. And now, you know, Brandon is more into investments and things like that now. And I'm learning, you know, I'm in a place where I'm like, I want to understand and learn more and grow. Like we always say, I'm micro, he's macro. you know? And so, but even that, you know, to be able to teach our children and teach them about stocks and bonds and like all of these investments and things to be able to help them, you know, in the future, I think is extremely important. So.
I just did a, so in the pandemic, I had bought my daughter some Ford stock. Mm-hmm. And a couple of months later, it went up just a little bit. She was like, I want to sell it. I want to buy something. And I said, no, I think you should wait. She said, no, I want to sell it. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. It was her money. I let her sell it. A couple of months, Ford went up. And I show her, I said, this is what you could have made. It's like $18,000. She was like, I could have made this. I said, yes, wow. But you pulled your money out.
Wow. And that's, but you're teaching her a lesson.
Yeah, I wanted her to see that. You know, sometimes you have to wait for your investments to grow. You can't just put your money in something and expect it to grow right away.
And Key, what you just taught her is not taught in the schools.
No.
Right. In the comfort of your home.
And they see me messing with my stocks, so they get excited. They're like, you did your stocks today? I'm like, yeah, I did it. How much you made? I'm like, mm-hmm. You know.
There's other resources of income that you can have, especially with our babies now, being able to be endorsed in college and being able to be influencers. And there's just different outlets where you can generate income for themselves.
Yeah, even at the most basic level is just understanding the value of a dollar. That's something that we, with that point system, the chore system, mm-hmm. the star system the Robux. That we use.
Everything is Robux for me in my house.
Same here.
Okay, you want that? Okay, you're going to have to work if you want them Robux.
Absolutely. Okay.
I want them to have their own money. And you have to spend your money.
Yes.
You want food? Okay. You're going to think about this $30 meal that you're about to order when we go out. Now you're only spending $10. What happened? Right, yeah. When mommy paying for it, you want to order everything. But when you pay for it, right. You know you want a budget now.
Mommy and daddy got money. You don't. You have to figure this out at some point.
Has there ever been a time where it felt like his money and not y'all's money?
Yes.
Having kind of like, you know, somebody who is, you know, in the limelight, very successful, all of the accolades that come along with that, and being married to this individual or married to, you know, or in a relationship with them, knowing what you bring to the table and knowing what your value is and like what you brought to the table before you met them, right? Mm-hmm. But then once this kind of like salary is over top, it's like over top of the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. How have you been able to navigate and hold your own truly when the salary is, it's the scales are so far tipped in the opposite direction?
I think the key is knowing who your worth is individually, mm-hmm. and it's not on a monetary scale.
Right.
So if you bring to the table a certain kind of intimacy, a certain kind of value, a certain kind of strength mm-hmm. that is kind of cohesive to the brand or mm-hmm. to the legacy that you want to instill with your partner, mm-hmm. it can be beyond grand.
Right.
But everyone has to be on the same page with that kind of stair step of mm-hmm. where are we headed?
Yeah.
Where are we headed?
And I guess I had to, it took me a while to feel comfortable. I guess that was my thing. You know, I felt confident and all those things, but maybe once I had kids, because the whole time we were dating, I felt like it was his money. Yeah. And I treated it as such, and I think he was fine with me treating it like that. Yeah. But once we had kids, now it's like, now we're talking about life insurance. Now we're talking about, you know, marriage and, you know, what all that means, mortgages. And then their college funds. So now the conversation has changed. And I guess in that I felt more strength to get more involved. Mm-hmm. But man, once I got involved, he couldn't get me out of it. Because now I'm like, okay.
And well, he didn't want to.
Yeah, I guess so, right? So that was cool too, to kind of see his shift, you know, of how he was looking at me deal with the finances too.
Well, and you guys are building for the legacy.
Right.
You're building for the future and you're building for generational
wealth. Girl, and he had this like great, great advisor before, or that he thought was like this big firm. And then we leave the meeting and I'm like, did you understand like everything he was saying? And he was like, no. I was like, well, why aren't you asking any questions? Because it went over my head too. And I was too embarrassed to ask questions. You're over here embarrassed to ask questions. And I said, we might need to find someone that's more in tune that could like really break it down for us, because we are learning. Like, we also need to get educated. Mm-hmm. So along with holding our money. Like, educate us too. Tell us what this means. Like, what kind of investors are we? Are we risky? Are we moderate? Are we conservative? You know, mm-hmm. like, what's the plan? How much money do you have to work with? Can we do a private equity stock? Can we do, can we play in the market? Do we need to hold? You know, like, there's so many facets to it. Then you talk about the crypto and then real estate. So you want to diversify your portfolio, but what does all that look like? You know, maybe I want to buy a few unit building. Maybe I want to buy some land and hold it. You know, like, what does all that look like? So I feel like once he opened the door and felt comfortable for me to walk into that, I felt empowered too to start asking those questions and putting the right people in our lives that were in line with what we believe.
But I think, like you said, we were all young when we came into our relationships, you know, so it's like we're growing into the woman that we need to be. You know, we didn't know everything back then. You know, you have to go. If your life is perfect, what do you know? You haven't failed to make mistakes. So you have to experience hardships and go through things to be able to grow. And I just feel like us all as women, we had to go through some things in life. To make it to where we are right now, you know, good, bad, ugly, it made us who we are. It made us the leader of our families, and no shade to the men in our life, but we lead our families.
We're the queen.
Yeah, we are.
I think that they would say that too, to be honest with you.
Without us in the house, the house is gonna fall apart. It's gonna break down. They're not gonna be knowing passwords to pay bills. they I don't know.
How you buy the kids lunch.
Yeah.
And then I think what's interesting too is that, you know, like, I have other colleagues that came from money, you know, so they might be trust fund babies, or they, you know, maybe got a big lump sum when someone passed away from, you know, having insurance. And here we are, like, I feel like our generation before us, they saved very well. They did a good job saving. But how to make the money make money for you is a conversation that even I'm having with, like, my dad or my mom, and they're like, oh, wow, you can do that? Like, oh, this is interesting. Well, tell me more about this. So I feel like we're all kind of bringing up our family in a way, because we're sitting at tables and rooms with, you know, I mean,
they can't even only imagine.
Yeah. And we have everyone in place. So it's like, I have the lawyer if you need to ask a legal question. I have the CPA to see how you want to, you know, curve your taxes once you get your LLC. You know, like,
that's,
we can
so
have
good.
Those conversations.
That's so good that you're reaching back into generations. You know what I mean? It's not just about your kids. Like, you're helping your parents, you know, save up for their retirement or whatever it is they have, you know?
Yeah. And a lot that's of them are old school. So for us to be bring that modern twist
exactly.
to them.
Exactly. Some of them
teach
are still
hiding
cash under the,
that's
under
right.
the mattress. Like,
that's
mom,
right.
Let's
that's
invest
right.
that money.
That's right.
Okay.
You
let's
can,
invest that.
You can gain interest right now,
okay.
or let's buy this property.
That's
we can
good.
Flip it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Ladies, we've talked about everything. We've talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've talked about budgeting, finances, present, in-laws, relationships, all of the things that, like, go into everyday life. Like, how the hell do we even end this?
It's so much. It's so much. I don't know.
Take a shot.
Yes.
But it's always a continuous thing. It's always going to be money, right?
We're always learning. Yes.
Always learning, always growing, always empowering, always excelling, and always uplifting.
Yes, cheers to that.
Yeah.
I don't have any more left. Yeah, cheers to that.
Happy.
I swear that I was around the corner when she walked right in. High heels, short dress, he should have known right then. He walked over like, you the shorty I should be rocking. She told him, baby, I'm a job, you need to get clocked in. She next level, eyes full of pride, she won't settle. No breaks, so she hit the road, foot to the pedal. No days off, I mean, that's often offensive. She like the ball, like the park with the fences. Yeah, so her lifestyle get awfully expensive. She might dismiss it, but it's hard to resist her. Cause she's a boss. Yeah, you can just tell when she talks. Shut the room down.